You are listening to the IoT for All Media Network.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the IoT for All podcast on the IoT for All Media Network. I'm your host, Ryan Chacon, one of the co-creators of IoT for All. Now, before we jump into this episode, please don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast platform or join our newsletter at iotforall.com/newsletter to catch all the newest episodes as soon as they come out. So without further ado, please enjoy this episode of the IoT for All podcast. Welcome, Hardy, to the IoT for All show. How are things going?
Good. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, this is like a welcome back. You were here, I think it was like 50 some episodes in. We're now into the hundreds. Talking about some other stuff way back then. So it's great to have you back. Looking forward to this conversation. Let's start off with kind of giving a quick introduction to our audience a little bit. You know, those who may not be familiar with you, with who you are, talk about your background experience, you know, how you ended up at Kadelski, and then we'll get more into kind of the Kadelski side.
Sure. Thank you. It's a pleasure to be back. And yeah, I'm Hardy Schmidbauer. I'm the Senior Vice President of the Kadelski Group, and specifically of the Kadelski IoT Division. My history in IoT, I started, designing back cordless phones a long time ago and doing a lot of those chipsets designs. Moved into the sub-gigahertz wireless space, targeting a lot of applications which are considered now IoT and smart metering and consumer products and garage door openers. Then I moved over to Semtech and worked a lot on the early strategy and definition of LoRa. Built the original LoRa ecosystem, which eventually became the LoRa Alliance. I did a startup for 2 years from 2016 to 2018. That was acquired by Semtech. In the startup, we were developing IoT solutions for asset tracking and lot management, as well as a consumer solution for tracking and for home security. I joined Kadelski last April. And very excited about the tools and the company inside of Kadelski and the potential that we have within the IoT market as it emerges.
Fantastic. Let's dive in a little bit more to the Kadelski side and talk about the role you all play in IoT and kind of how you're offering, at least from the IoT side, because I know it's a large organization kind of across the security landscape, but on the IoT side, kind of how your approach differs and your offerings differ than other security companies in the market, and just kind of do, you know, general philosophy behind how you guys handle working with customers.
Sure. You know, I joke that Kadelski is the biggest company that nobody's ever heard of, but it's a super interesting company and a super interesting history. And I think it's important to share a little bit about that history to understand, where our expertise comes from in IoT. So within Kadelski, there are four main divisions. We have our digital television business unit, which is a leader in conditional access systems for TV networks. So we secure a lot of the large global TV networks and the content over those networks. Dish is one of our largest customers today. So if you've used Dish at all, we have technology in that set-top box and is securing the entire network. We have a cybersecurity division, which does managed security services for many large corporations and governments and utilities. And then we have our public access division, which does access control solutions for large venues, for stadiums, for parking, and for ski resorts. So if you've a skier and you've gone to any Vail resorts, you're typically going through Kadelski systems, and the technology behind how your ticket is generated is also coming from Kadelski. So with those, that history, we have a long history and expertise in security. You know, we've been fighting piracy and hacking in the TV industry for over 20 years. And really, actively having to fight that and have countermeasures and deal with issues, I think has given tremendous expertise to the team. And now a lot of that team and a lot of the R&D focus is now shifted over to IoT, and we're applying those same concepts that we've learned and had to develop over the past, 20 years and in those other divisions, now applying that to IoT. And I think, we're really on the forefront of large volumes in IoT. And I think also in needing and and having, you know, much tighter security standards within IoT to ensure that the IoT solutions can scale and be secure as the volumes ramp up.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I appreciate kind of that the insights there on how you all work and operate. One thing, you know, we've had a bunch of security experts on the show recently, and I do want to get into more of a kind of a use case conversation, because I know there's something, you know, some interesting or an interesting application that you all kind of bring into the market that you want to talk about here in a second. But before we do that, I want to ask a couple high level questions that just to get your opinion and take on that are kind of commonly asked from a lot of the IoT people that I'm speaking with. But one of them is, when it comes to security on the IoT front, there seems to be a general lack of kind of concern for security. And I wanted to ask you kind of why that's an issue and how do companies really stay on top of kind of the latest security threats on the IoT front?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's one of the challenges with security is, depending on who you ask, you get a different answer, or you're guaranteed to get a different answer. And a lot of it really depends, and that's, you know, our philosophy inside of Kadelsi. It's not a one size fits all approach, right? There are going to be different security requirements for a cat tracker, you know, versus a smart meter or a medical device. So you really need to look at each application individually, define, you know, what is needed for a security threat assessment, you know, for that solution, and then architect and design towards that. I agree. There's kind of been a lack of, you know, concern for security within IoT. But just since I've joined Kadelsi, I've seen that change rapidly. And security is typically not an issue until it's a problem. But then it's too late. But we're seeing, you know, a lot of, you know, good education across the market, a lot of people, you know, having a better understanding and requirements for security. And you're seeing, you know, NIST and other organizations also, you know, publishing a lot of new requirements or guidelines for security, which I think is doing a lot to educate the market on what is really needed for security within IoT.
That's fantastic. Yeah. And have you seen kind of COVID play a role, or have you seen COVID kind of play a role in the security landscape as far as, you know, the last year or so affecting things from your standpoint?
I mean, I think COVID is accelerating a lot of the IoT solutions, or say some IoT solutions. You know, it's kind of forcing that digital transformation in some industries more rapidly, maybe than they would have organically done, you know, without COVID. And I think that, you know, that is, you know, that transformation is also, you know, raising up concerns and requirements about security as well. So yes, I think, you know, inadvertently, COVID is also kind of, you know, helping to drive forward kind of the security importance within a lot of these IoT solutions that are maybe being accelerated due to COVID.
Okay, great. Yeah, it's been an interesting kind of ride this last year. So, so getting everybody's kind of perception from their own viewpoint's been an interesting kind of piece to talk about. Now, I do want to kind of transition here quickly to talking more about use cases. We've kind of pivoted the focus of our show a little bit to focus more on, you know, real life examples of how companies are adopting and implementing IoT. So, I would love for you to kind of talk us through, you know, the most recent or the most exciting kind of use case you have going on right now, a solution that you have out in the market, or maybe you're coming to the market, and talk us through kind of what that is and how it works.
Sure. So within Kadelsi IoT, we have three main product lines. We have our IoT services, which we do security assessments and design services, mainly around security. So we do a lot of assessments for the major semiconductor companies, really evaluating their silicon, as well as in evaluating the security of the entire solution. Then we have our IoT system, which is Keystream, which is really, you know, how to secure devices and IoT solutions, from provisioning through remote feature authorization through secure firmware updates over the air, the full security lifecycle of a device. So we have a solution for that. And then, you know, what I'm very excited to announce is we're also developing complete IoT solutions. And the first solution that we're just launching now is called Recover. And that's a dealership lot management solution and consumer theft recovery solution.
So, so take me through that. There sounds like there's two pieces there, the consumer side and the dealer side. So kind of how does that work in together, and then how do they work independently?
Sure. So we provide the dealer, the lot management solution. So while the cars were on lot and in the inventory on the dealership, we provide them a free lot management solution. So they can be able to keep track of their inventory, find cars quickly for interested buyers, be able to get reductions, off their insurance, and also really become more efficient and optimize their workflow of when they receive cars to when they're sold through to the consumer. As the dealerships sell the car, they will also sell to the consumer the theft recovery solution. And so it kind of changes modes from a lot management solution to a consumer theft recovery solution. On the consumer side, the solution can also be used to, find my car if you can't remember where you parked at the airport. Or if your car is stolen, or if you just want to basically lock the location, which is another way to basically geofence your vehicle. So if you're going to be on vacation, or you want any kind of alert, immediate text or email, if your car is moved unexpectedly, you can get that kind of alert directly to your mobile or to your email.
Could you technically set a large enough geofence that if you gave your car to, say, a child of yours and they drove outside of the geofence, you'd be alerted?
So we're not doing that feature. The more the feature that we are focusing in on is the lock the location. So get an immediate alert if your car is moved unexpectedly. Mm-hmm. So if you go away for the weekend and you don't want your son to drive your sports car, right? You would put the lock the location in to ensure that the vehicle is not moved.
So take me through kind of the minds, or I guess the thought process that went into this solution. You know, where did it come from? What is the problem that, is out in the market that maybe a lot of the people listening are unaware of? You can talk both sides, the dealership side as well as the consumer side, because obviously people are familiar with other theft recovery solutions, like they've heard of LoJack and things like that. But from when you all kind of started venturing down this path of building this solution, what was the opportunity that you saw? What was the problem that you kind of saw an opportunity to solve? And how does it really compare to other available options on the market?
Sure. So, when we started to look at this market, we kind of identified a few things. A lot of the solutions that are available today are rather kind of old from a technology standpoint. And also the business models we didn't really see were efficient, for the dealers or for those companies. So we really wanted to disrupt on the technology side, and also disrupt, on the business side to make it, much more profitable, much more efficient for the dealers as well as a solution I think that can scale, much easier across the market. So on the dealer side, LoJack, which has been in the market for a long time, and everybody knows, they have announced that they're shutting down operations. But that solution was, developed a long time ago, and it uses a proprietary network. So there's a big cost to, keeping that network up to date. From installing the equipment in the police cars and having power leases and keeping that up to date, there's a big infrastructure cost, and that made sense, back when cellular coverage, wasn't good and wasn't reliable. But now with cellular coverage, really that the cost of a proprietary separate network is really unnecessary overhead. Also, most of the solutions today are wired in. And we felt that we could do a very efficient, very cost-effective standalone device, which is battery operated, not connected at all to the car system. When you wire the existing trackers into the vehicle, there's of course a cost associated with that. It takes them, 30 to 45 minutes of labor to install those. And then a lot of times they don't have time to remove them when the consumer buys the car. Typically when you buy a car, you've been there longer than you want to be and you're ready to leave. And so a lot of times they don't sell the solution to the consumer. They end up just leaving the device in the car and disabling it and taking a loss. So I think, our goal was to, have something battery operated that can be provisioned and installed, in less than a minute, and also removed if it doesn't sell to the consumer in less than a minute. So you avoid that kind of burden and overhead of doing the wired inversion. A lot of the car manufacturers now are also voiding the warranty on anything that is wired in. And they're also super concerned in electric vehicles about anything being wired into the battery. So they actually don't allow it. Most car manufacturers won't allow a wired in solution on an electric vehicle or a hybrid vehicle.
Interesting. So how long does this device last? If you're saying it's not wired in, so it's not pulling from the battery of the vehicle. It's obviously a standalone, power source. What's the life expectancy of these devices? And I would assume it's relatively easy to change the battery in and out if it dies.
So that's critical, and I think that's where our expertise and history gives us a big advantage, as well as, both from the dealership and the consumer, the user experience with devices. Everybody kind of expects, very instantaneous feedback from apps and from devices now. I think thanks to, what Apple has done over the years. We've designed the device for a 5-year battery lifetime, but we still check in very frequently with the network so that we can have that proper user experience, for the consumer and for the dealers. So with the dealers, it's really, from their perspective, it's real time tracking. We update the position, every time the vehicle is moved. So from their perspective, whenever they go to look for a location, it'll show basically real time from their perspective, where that vehicle is. On the consumer side, we were very conscious about privacy. In our consumer interviews, privacy and the fear of being tracked is very high on consumers' concerns. So we only update the position when requested by the consumer. So if they request the position of their vehicle, if they forgot where they parked or they put it into theft recovery, then we start to update the position. But outside of that, we still check in very frequently, with the network so that we can have that proper user experience and set that expectation with the consumer of how long it's going to take before their position will be updated. And I think that's critical to, not having the wired in solution where you have essentially, the battery lifetime, a very large battery to draw from. But still being able to deliver really the user experience needed to be successful in the market, while having the engineering capability to design something that has a very long battery lifetime and is extremely low power.
So in your conversations during your research phase with customers, what were their thoughts on kind of the current offerings in the market, and I guess what were the big takeaways from that caused, certain decisions to be made on the Recover solution?
Sure. So, I mean, there a lot of, from our consumer surveys, a lot of consumers are, concerned about theft. And I think we've seen, a big increase in theft, in the COVID environment for various reasons. So it is a rising kind of a demand from consumer for theft recovery solutions, within the market. Most important things for them, were the usability, of the solution, the theft recovery, being able to, work easily and with law enforcement, through the recover call center, the financial benefits for insurance and for the warranty, if your car is stolen, also ranked very high. And I think the other features we have in there to make it very simple and easy to use are also going to be, very attractive to the consumers compared to what they have today in the market.
So what are those extra, what are the insurance and kind of warranty benefits that you get as a consumer? I guess what I'm trying to get at is, aside from obviously the functionality of it, what are the other reasons people would purchase this solution?
Sure. So if their car is stolen and not recovered, we provide them, $5,000 cash towards a new car. And we also pay $1,000 towards their deductible on their insurance.
Okay. Interesting. Well, that sounds fantastic. So basically the way this works is, if you were to purchase this, when you buy a car, new or used, I assume it could be either one. And you would then disconnect the tracking ability of the dealer. So the dealer has no insight into where this car is or any kind of data collected after it is sold. And then as a user, when there's no tracking being done until I go into the mobile app and click, hey, find my car, or my car is stolen, and then alerts authorities and kind of goes through that process, goes up to, basically reaches out and tries to find the actual vehicle. But other than that, it's not tracking where you are driving. And then if for some unfortunate reason the car is stolen, there is a $5,000 cash warranty applied to this, and then also covering the $1,000 of the deductible on the consumer side. Okay. Interesting. And, I guess let me ask kind of a question a little before the sale. When you're talking to dealers, and obviously a free lot management solution sounds fantastic, how are they viewing the potential of this being a sell-through item through, I assume it happens kind of after the car is sold, more in the when you're working on the financing and those pieces of the car buying process? How are dealers kind of responding to this solution and seeing this as something that they also can, I'm assuming, obviously they care about making money off of it, so that to be something that they offer to their customers?
Yeah. So, dealerships are making a lot of their profit off of the products that they sell in F&I and through service. So they're very interested in products like this, because it can have a big impact on their profitability and their financial performance within the dealership. So, pretty much we see, all the dealerships are interested in these types of solutions. And they're also extremely interested in lot management and becoming more efficient, but typically don't want to pay for it, right? They're really trying to, optimize their financials, and having to pay, for another, basically a management software, is hard for many of them to accept. So we think we found a very disruptive business model where, we help them, provide, lot management and make the dealership much more efficient, really at no cost to them. And they get a revenue source by when they sell it through to the consumer. So we're getting, great feedback and great traction already, from the dealership community about our model. And also I think it's welcoming, to have Kedelsky, a billion-dollar, technology and security leader, standing behind the solution and having 24/7 support and call centers. And I think a top quality product that consumers are really going to like. It makes it much easier for them to, also feel comfortable with us developing the solution and being their partner and making sure that the consumers are happy with the solution as well.
And so what's the, general kind of go-to-market approach from your all's end? Kind of just going to from dealer to dealer, dealer groups, group organizations that represent lots of dealers and just pushing it out and getting into as many dealers as possible?
Correct. So yeah, we're in the process of, contacting, individual dealers and many dealer groups, as well as setting up, channels as well of companies that, offer, services and products into dealers. So we're in the process of setting all that up. We're going to announce the solution at NADA. Okay. And then we'll start to deploy dealerships at the end of March, and already have a high volume of parts with our contract manufacturer through the end of the year secured to help ramp up the solution.
So, and then from a consumer side of things, is there a cost to use this outside of the initial purchase, or is it something that is you basically pay a flat all-in cost and then it's good and forever, or how does that work?
Yeah, great question. I meant to mention that earlier, so thanks for asking that. There's no monthly fees. It's an all-in cost. Okay. And that comes with 3 years of service for the solution. And once that's over, they can go back to the dealer and repurchase a new device to be placed in their car.
Oh, okay. Okay. Gotcha. Well, that's fantastic. By time people listen to this, I assume it'll probably be out, but when is the event, the NADA event? Is that coming up soon?
Yes, that will happen next week. So,
oh, fantastic.
NADA is the North American Dealers Association show. Okay. Which was supposed to happen in person in New Orleans, but this year it's virtual as most trade shows are.
Fantastic. And I assume this works in any vehicle, any kind of, anything they want, any car that needs to be tracked. And is there, in your mind, I guess we're in the team's mind, you don't have to go into too many details here, but is there kind of a feature rollout plan down the line that these devices would then be able to kind of get over the air updates on? Or is it something that it would need a new device in order to get a new feature set if you decided to kind of do a version 2.0?
No. So, I think that's, one of the, the benefits of Kedelsky is, the engineering talent, and especially the software engineering talent that we have within the company is, better than I've seen anywhere else in the technology industry and in my career. So, we are utilizing, all of our own kind of products and solutions. So we're using our Keystream solution, in the design. So we really have security integrated from the beginning. We have firmware over the air updates. Everything is already integrated into the design so that we can, make adjustments and, do remote feature authorization or change of ownership and zero touch provisioning. All of those kind of features are already, designed and integrated into the device.
Okay. And last question, I guess it's more of a opportunity to kind of give a final push for what this is to the audience. If I'm a consumer out there about to buy a car and I get presented with this opportunity, why should I consider putting the Recover tracker and app kind of in my car and on my phone? Why is it something that I should strongly consider?
I think it's a great solution just to, give you peace of mind as a consumer. And then I think, if you're in the event your vehicle is stolen or you occasionally forget, where you parked, you can immediately, determine the location of your vehicle. And then of course the financial benefits, right? If your car is stolen, right? Is I think is a good, somewhat insurance policy, right? That's well worth the cost to the solution to the dealer.
One thing I just thought about as you've been kind of explaining this is how big is the kind of the theft recovery theft, from with automobiles, how big of a deal is that? Because obviously, some people live in areas where maybe it's not as much of a concern for them, but I'm sure it's obviously a big enough problem for a company of your size to take on and launch a solution to the market. Can you kind of put it into perspective, how big of a problem this actually is?
I think it's a very big market, right? If you look at, how many cars are sold in the U.S., how many cars are stolen in the U.S., it's a very big problem today. And I think a very big market when you look at, the volume of just looking at the U.S. market alone, not even considering other geographies, it's a very big market. I think there were over 17 million new cars. That's not including used cars. And there's also, roughly a car stolen every second. So in the time that we've, you know, talked about this for a couple seconds, there's already been, you know, 10 cars stolen. So it is a very big, you know, I think problem in becoming a bigger problem, I think, due to some of the economic, you know, problems that we're having, you know, coming out of, that are caused by COVID.
Yeah, that's very interesting to learn, because I would have not any idea of kind of how big of an issue that is. So I appreciate kind of these insights and explaining the solution that you have coming to market. My goal is to have this episode be out pretty much the week y'all launch. So it should, by the time you're listening to this, you should be able to find out more about the Recover solution. What's the best way for our audience to connect with either Kudelski or learn more about the Recover solution, I guess, is the question I'm asking.
Sure. We can reach out via recover.biz or on Kudelski IoT. You can contact us through there, and someone from the organization will give you an immediate response back if you have any interest in the solutions of Kudelski IoT or in the Recover product.
Now, let me ask, if I went to my dealer to buy a car and they did not have this as an option, is that something I could buy afterwards directly from you, or is it something that I would have to kind of lobby my dealer to get?
No, we are only selling it through the dealers. You know, as we ramp up, though, we will, you know, be able to direct you to dealers that offer it. If your dealer doesn't, you know, offer it, you know, we can direct you to another dealer that does offer it, and you could purchase it through that dealer.
Okay, fantastic. Well, again, Hardy, I appreciate your time. This has been a fantastic learning experience for me and our audience to understand another great IoT solution out in the market for consumers to get their hands on, and obviously, and for dealers to get their hands on to benefit their organization as well. So I appreciate your time, and I wish you the best of luck with this launch. It sounds like a fantastic option, and you know, very confident in your all's ability to pull this off, bring it to market and scale it, just as, you know, what we're all trying to achieve to benefit the IoT space as a whole. So I appreciate it.
All right, great. Thanks a lot, Ryan.
Thank you.
All right, bye.
All right, everyone. Thanks again for joining us this week on the IoT for All podcast. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you did, please leave us a rating or review and be sure to subscribe to our podcast on whichever platform you're listening to us on. Also, if you have a guest you'd like to see on the show, please drop us a note at ryan@iotforall.com, and we'll do everything we can to get them as a featured guest. Other than that, thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time.